Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com. We're continuing in our study on Jeremiah chapter 50. This study will be verses 21 through 25. As usual, I'll begin by reading the verses and then go into the introduction and then take each verse one at a time and talk a little bit about each one. So let's begin reading at Jeremiah 50, verse 21 through 25. There we read, "Go up against the land of Merathaim, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans." In this study, we the elect are commanded to go up against the land of Merathaim and against the inhabitants of Pekod to waste and utterly destroy after them. But what is the land of Merathaim, and who are the inhabitants of Pekod? And what does it mean to waste and utterly destroy after them? Then we read, "How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations?" Now, just what is the hammer of the whole earth, and how has it been cut asunder and broken? And just how has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? Next, we are told that Yahweh laid a snare for Babylon, and they were taken, found, and caught therein without being aware of it, because they have striven against the Lord. What is the snare that Yahweh laid for Babylon, and how were they taken, found, and caught unaware? And what did they do to strive against the Lord? Finally, we are told that Yahweh has opened his armory and has brought forth the weapons of his indignation, for this is the work of the Lord Yahweh of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. What are the weapons of his indignation, and how do they affect the land of the Chaldeans in which this work of the Lord Yahweh of hosts? These are a few of the questions that we will answer in this study. May our Lord, through Jesus Christ, grant us the answers and cause us to grow and mature through the hearing of his word. Amen. Well, let's look more closely at verse 21 of chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 21. Let's read it once again. It reads, "Go up against the land of Merathaim, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee." In this verse, we are first being told to go up against the land of Merathaim. Merathaim is a word used only here in the Bible, and in this context, it is being used as another name for Babylon. It means double rebellion. And so we are being told to go up against the land of double rebellion, which is a fitting name for Babylon, because they have not only rebelled against Yahweh as all other kingdoms and nations have, but they have double rebelled by going up against Yahweh's very own people, Israel, and having destroyed them. In the literal historical account, this took place in 587 BC when the Babylonians or Chaldeans conquered Jerusalem. But in the spiritual account, this took place between May 21, 1988 and May 21, 2011 when the Babylonians, that is the spiritually unsaved people in all the churches, had spiritually destroyed all the churches with false gospels and teachings as Yahweh's judgment against them. For judgment must begin with the house of God, we read in 1 Peter 4:17, and it did begin upon all Christian churches according to the biblical timeline on May 21, 1988. Now, we not only read the command for us, the elect, to go up against the land of Merathaim, that is Babylon, the kingdom of double rebellion, but this is emphasized again in saying, even against it. It is like we have been told twice to go up against Babylon in one breath. Obviously, the Lord wants to make it absolutely clear what we, the elect, should be doing in these days. We should be going up against the land of double rebellion, that is Merathaim, which means that we should be focused upon bringing the message of no more salvation to the world in all the churches. I encourage each of us to download the Babylon Has Fallen flyer. You can click on this link to do so, and begin distributing it far and wide. If you have the money, there are many other ways to get the message out as well, both on the internet and outside the internet. I found Facebook, for instance, to be a very effective method for advertising, although it does cost some money. But even if you don't have the money, there are many free ways to advertise on the internet, such as through social networks and free classified ads. Yes, the ways to get the message out are many, but the most important thing is that we get the message out. For Yahweh, in our verse, commands us to do so, and he even emphasizes it twice by saying, first, go up against the land of Merathaim, and then, second, even against it. So let's go to battle with what we can and pray that our Lord will increase what we have so that we can do more and more unto his glory. And let's pool our resources for battle so that we can reach further and deeper into Babylon than ever before. But now we read that we are not just to go up against the land of double rebellion, that is Babylon, but against the inhabitants of Pekod. Pekod means visitation or punishment, and it was a tribe in southeast Babylonia that was a part of the Babylonian army. So to go up against Pekod was one and the same as to go up against the Babylonian army. And because Pekod means punishment, it signifies that the Babylonian army was marked for punishment and therefore destruction. For us today to go up against Pekod, then, is really the same thing as going up against Babylon, this world and all churches, as Yahweh visits or punishes them unto destruction. Hence, Babylon is called Pekod, meaning visitation or punishment. So, in summary, we are to go up against Merathaim, which is another name for Babylon, and which is double rebellious, and we are to go up against Pekod, which is also another name for Babylon, and which is a visitation or punishment against her. Well, our verse now continues by saying, waste and utterly destroy after them. It can also be translated, lay waste and completely destroy after them. Interestingly, the word translated as lay waste or waste can also be translated as dry up. So our verse could read, dry up and completely destroy after them. The idea is to drying up after them makes sense when we see the elect drying up the land of Babylon as they declare that salvation has ended with no possibility of any longer being eternally saved. They are not physically drying up the land, of course, but they are spiritually drying up the land as they make it known that the spiritual water of salvation is no more to be found in Babylon ever since May 21, 2011. Yes, Babylon is now dried up, and with respect to the water of salvation, and as the elect make this known, they are spiritually drying up the land as they go after them, that is, after the Babylonians. But excuse me for a minute here as I find my place. But not only are we the elect commanded to dry up after them, that is, to dry up after the Babylonians as we declare the message of no more eternal salvation, but we are to completely destroy after them as well. And in a spiritual sense, we are completely destroying Babylon by declaring no more eternal salvation. For with no possibility of eternal salvation for them, they are certain to soon perish, either in death or on the soon-to-come last day by annihilation. Whatever the case, they are guaranteed to remain spiritually dead in Adam until they either die or are annihilated on the soon-to-come last day of judgment day that we are now in. So, with no eternal salvation possible for them, we can emphatically say that Babylon is completely being destroyed as we make known to them that there is no longer any hope for their eternal salvation because they are now sentenced to death for certain ever since May 21, 2011 with no way of escape. Indeed, Babylon has spiritually already been destroyed. Now, next in our verse, we read, saith the Lord. The word Lord is really the word Yahweh, even though we don't know absolutely for sure that the vowels in the word Yahweh are correct. Nevertheless, they are at least a good approximation of what the vowels are, so we will continue to spell the word Yahweh as we have always done. Furthermore, by saying, saith Yahweh in our verse, it is being emphasized that it is Yahweh himself saying these words. And therefore, when we are commanded to dry up and completely destroy after them, that is after the Babylonians, by declaring no more eternal salvation for them, our Lord wants to emphasize to us that this is a command directly from him. It is not just a command from a man such as Jeremiah, but it is a command directly from our Lord. Therefore, we want to be sure to help in some way to get out the message of judgment upon Babylon, that is, upon the world and all churches. We should not only ask ourselves what we are now doing to get out the message of no more salvation, but what more can we do to get out the message? And if we are now not doing anything to help get out the message, we should immediately begin to do so, as this is clearly the will of the Lord for our lives at this time. Finally, our verse states, "And do according to all that I have commanded thee." Clearly, our Lord is making it absolutely clear that we must be getting out the message of no more eternal salvation to the world and all the churches, that is Babylon. First, he just commands us to lay waste, that is dry out, and completely destroy after them, that is after Babylon, by saying, "Saith the Lord." But then he drives that message home by saying, "And do according to all that I have commanded thee." So, if we are Yahweh's elect, we must be involved in some way by getting out the message that salvation has come to an end ever since May 21, 2011. For as Christ once stated in John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And again in John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." Indeed, if we love Jesus, we cannot just sit around and do nothing when our Lord is commanding us to do something. No, we will do something because we love Jesus. And we love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Moving on to verse 22 of Jeremiah 50, we read, "A sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction." Here we are told that a sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction. The sound of battle refers to the declaration by the elect that there's no longer any possibility for salvation ever since May 21, 2011. This should be being sounded as the battle cry around the world. And it is a message of great destruction, because with no eternal salvation any longer possible, it means that all Babylon, that is the world and all churches, is now certain to perish in a relatively brief period on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. In fact, it is so certain to soon take place that Yahweh can speak of it as if it already has, which is why he says with anticipation that the sound of great destruction is already in the land. Furthermore, looking at it spiritually, all the people of Babylon are already spiritually dead in Adam, with now no hope any longer of ever being brought to life. So there is, in this spiritual sense, a great destruction in the land as well. Indeed, spiritually, death is everywhere in the land of Babylon, and it is now guaranteed to remain in the land, and this is a sound of great destruction. Verse 23 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 23. It reads, "How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder," or cut down, we could say, "and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations?" In this verse, we first read, "How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken?" This is not a question, but an exclamation. It plays on the fact that the hammer, Babylon, once had complete rulership over the whole earth, including all the churches, during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And Babylon was the hammer used to destroy them all by leading them into false gospels, philosophies, beliefs, and teachings. But now, ever since May 21, 2011, Babylon, the hammer of the whole earth, is cut asunder and broken. It is cut asunder or cut down in that Satan, the ruler of Babylon, has been deposed from ruling over the world and all the churches on May 21, 2011. And Babylon is broken because Satan, its ruler, is no longer permitted to rule over the world and all the churches, but has been cast into the spiritual fires of Judgment Day as he awaits his complete annihilation on the last day. Oh yes, he can still go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8, but he does not do this as the ruler of the world, but in great anger he does it, because he has great anger with Yahweh as a last-ditch effort to somehow harm Yahweh's people. He knows that he cannot harm them spiritually because they were already saved by May 21, 2011. But he seeks to make their lives here on this planet miserable, and in certain cases, he has been permitted to physically kill them. But thanks be to our God that Babylon and its ruler have now been cut down and broken, and that physical death for the elect is merely a transition to eternal life in glory. Yet Babylon and its ruler Satan have now not only been cut down and broken, but we read, how has Babylon become a desolation among the nations as well? That is, how is it that the world and all churches which once stood in all their splendor and glory have now become a desolation? Well, we know the answer. It's because salvation ended on May 21, 2011, and this has made Babylon, the world, and all the churches a desolation, because there is no longer any spiritual water of salvation to bring life to Babylon, and so there is no one any longer being brought to life in Babylon. It is now nothing but a place of spiritual death, indeed. Everyone in the world and all the churches, that is Babylon, are now all spiritually dead in Adam, and they will remain spiritually dead in Adam until their soon destruction on the last day. Hence, Yahweh exclaims, how has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? Now, it is interesting that when we look to see how this word desolation is used in the Bible, especially in Jeremiah, we often find it relating to there being no inhabitants. That is, to be desolate is to be without inhabitants. For instance, we read in Jeremiah 50, verse 3, "For out of the north there comes up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein." And in Jeremiah 51:29 we read, "And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant." We read in Jeremiah 51:37, "And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment," that's that same word, desolation, "and an hissing without an inhabitant." And again we read in Jeremiah 51:43, "Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwells." Neither doth any son of man pass thereby. Other verses in Jeremiah and Isaiah say the same thing, namely that when the land is desolate, it is without inhabitant, as you can read in the following verses. For instance, Jeremiah 2:15, the young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste, that is desolate, the same word. His cities are burned without inhabitant. And Jeremiah 4:7, the lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Jeremiah 46:19, O thou daughter dwelling in Egypt, furnish thyself to go into captivity. For Noph shall be waste, that's the same word, desolation, and desolate, without an inhabitant. So it's consistent. We see this throughout Jeremiah, that to be desolate is to be without inhabitant. And how is it that Babylon has become without inhabitants? Once again, we know the answer to this. Babylon, the world, and all the churches have become without inhabitant because there is now no possibility of anyone becoming saved, which means that all of Babylon is spiritually dead in Adam. And so there are no spiritually living inhabitants in the land. Babylon is indeed without inhabitant. And this means that Babylon is a spiritual desolation among the nations, as our verse states. Well, let's move on to verse 24 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 24. I have laid a snare or a trap for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou was not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. In this verse, we first read, I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught. And what was that snare or trap that was laid for Babylon? Why, it was May 21, 2011. Babylon, the world, and all the churches had long before been told that May 21, 2011 would begin a time of horror on the earth with earthquakes and great devastation and with the rapture of the believers. But when May 21, 2000 came and none of that took place, Babylon, the world, and all the churches thought that they had escaped and everything would be peace and safety. Yet, it was at that moment when Babylon was snared without knowing it, without being aware. For May 21, 2011 was when any possibility for their eternal salvation ended, which ensured that the world and all the churches, that is Babylon, would soon perish on the last day of Judgment Day without any possibility of their eternal life. So, from an eternal and spiritual perspective, Babylon became trapped or snared on May 21, 2011, and they were not even aware of it. As our verse says, when it states, and thou, that is Babylon, was not aware. And the job of the elect is to now make Babylon aware of it by getting out the message that Babylon has fallen and been taken in the snare of Judgment Day, wherein they no longer have any possibility of being eternally saved. Indeed, they are all now destined for eternal death, because they were all caught in the snare that Yahweh laid for them. Yes, they think that they are free and that everything is peace and safety, but they have been led into a trap by Yahweh. For everything is not peace and safety, but it is rather Judgment Day, and Babylon, the world, and all the churches have been snared in the trap of eternal death ever since May 21, 2011. No one in the kingdom of Babylon will ever be eternally saved again. They will now never have anything eternal, but only temporal, which is certain to end by their loss of everything that they have gained in this life, when on the last day of judgment day that we are now in, they are annihilated for all eternity. Yes, Babylon was taken, found, and also caught, but they are unaware unless we make it known to them in obedience to our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Now, the reason why Babylon was snared and taken, found and caught without knowing it on May 21, 2011 is, we are told, because thou, that is Babylon, hast striven against the Lord. Literally, it reads, because you, that's Babylon, stirred up yourself against Yahweh. And how did they stir up themselves against Yahweh? Well, first, they went up against the churches of Jesus Christ to spiritually destroy them during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. This was striving against Yahweh because His church belonged to Him, and to go up against them was the same as being stirred up against Yahweh Himself. Second, Babylon stirred themselves up against Yahweh by disobeying His commands in general. They did not take His word seriously, but in rebellion they mocked His word by doing whatever they wanted. In this way, Babylon, the world, and all churches stirred themselves up against Yahweh. The result being that Yahweh laid a snare for Babylon, that is the entire world and all the churches, that was sprung on May 21, 2011, when any possibility for anyone of Babylon becoming saved ended. This was a trap that Babylon was unaware of, but in fact, they thought everything was peace and safety when nothing supposedly happened on May 21, 2011. But they were wrong. Something did happen, and that something has bound them in chains of eternal death, as none of them can any longer be eternally saved. Moving on to the last verse that we'll cover, verse 25 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 25. It reads, "The Lord has opened His armory and hath brought forth the weapons of His indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans." Here we first read, "The Lord has opened His armory." Literally, it reads, "Yahweh has opened His storehouse." But because weapons or instruments of His indignation are what are brought forth from His storehouse, storehouse is translated by the King James translators as armory. So our verse begins by reading, "Yahweh has opened His armory," and in the context, this is a good translation. Next, we read, "And has brought forth the weapons of His indignation." And has brought forth the weapons of His indignation. We learned that the weapons of His indignations, we learned what they are back when we studied Isaiah chapter 13, 5. There we read in Isaiah 13, 5, "They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of His indignation to destroy the whole land." In this verse, we found that the weapons of His indignation are the elect. And you can click on the link, Isaiah 13, and then scroll down to verses 3 through 5 and read those to see that the weapons of His indignation are the elect. It is the elect who spiritually come from a far country, from the end of heaven, who are the weapons of his indignation, and who come to destroy the whole land of Babylon. So what we are being told in that Yahweh has brought forth the weapons of his indignation is that Yahweh has brought forth the elect, as we read in Isaiah 13:5, to destroy the whole land of Babylon, that is the world and all the churches. And the elect destroy the entire world and all the churches through their message that the people of the world and of all the churches no longer have any possibility for salvation. This means spiritually that they are all destined to remain spiritually dead in Adam and thus subject to complete annihilation on the soon to come last day of judgment day in which we now find ourselves. Yes, the whole land of Babylon is being destroyed by the weapons of Yahweh's indignation, the elect. Now our verse concludes by saying, "For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans." Literally, this verse reads, "For a work is it of my Lord Yahweh of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. For a work is it of my Lord Yahweh of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans." That is, the fact that Yahweh has opened his armory and has brought forth the weapons of his indignation, the elect, is a work of my Lord Yahweh of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. The land of the Chaldeans, of course, is synonymous with the land of Babylon, which now refers to this world and all the churches. So we are being told that Yahweh has opened his armory and has brought forth the weapons of his indignation, the elect. For a work is it of my Lord Yahweh of hosts in the land of this world and all the churches. Yes, the fact that the elect are now brought forth to bring the message of the end to eternal salvation to the world and all the churches is the work of my Lord Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh of hosts, of course, means Yahweh of armies, so that the elect are a part of Yahweh's army who don't shoot guns and drop bombs, but they simply declare that the world and all the churches no longer have any possibility for eternal salvation ever since May 21, 2011. And because of this, billions of people on earth, with millions more being born every day, are now certain to soon perish on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. This makes the word of the elect much more powerful than any gun or bomb, but as powerful as Yahweh himself. For the word of the elect is the word of Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Almighty God. Amen. Well, in conclusion to our study, we began with a clear command for us, the elect, to go up against the land of Marathim and Pekod, which names both symbolize Babylon, this world, including all the churches. The word Marathim means double rebellion, and the word Pekod means visitation or punishment, which teaches first that Babylon is doubly rebellious, as they are not only rebellious as are all other kingdoms, but they are also rebellious in that they rebelliously went up against all Yahweh's churches and spiritually destroyed them between May 21, 1988 and May 21, 2011. And second, that Babylon, the world including all churches, is the kingdom destined for visitation in punishment, which punishment the elect are commanded by Yahweh to bring upon Babylon by obeying Yahweh's command to lay waste, which means to dry up, and entirely destroy them. Yahweh emphasizes this command by saying to the elect, "And do according to all that I have commanded thee." So we, the elect, must obey our Lord to bring the message that salvation has ended for Babylon. And as we do this, we are laying waste, which means that we are drying up the waters of Babylon, because we are making it known that there is no longer any water of salvation ever since May 21, 2011. Furthermore, by obeying our Lord to bring this judgment message of no more eternal salvation, we are utterly destroying Babylon, because no one can any longer be eternally saved, which means that everyone is now destined to soon perish on the last day of the day of judgment that we are now in. Next, we found that the hammer of the whole earth, namely Babylon and its ruler Satan, is cut down and broken ever since May 21, 2011. Babylon and Satan were cut down in that Satan was removed from his throne of ruling over the entire world and all the churches. And Babylon, including its ruler Satan, were broken because Satan will never be permitted to rule as he once did ever again. In fact, he has now been cast into the spiritual fires of Judgment Day as he now awaits his soon-to-come complete annihilation on the last day. He can still cause problems in the world, yes, but his days have been numbered as he will soon be eternally destroyed. Amen and amen. Now we learn that Yahweh had laid a snare or trap for Babylon, that is, for the world, including all Christian churches, and that snare was May 21, when any possibility of eternal salvation came to an end. When that date came with no apparent outward incident of any kind, Babylon, the world, and all the churches thought peace and safety. But it was at that moment that Babylon was taken, found, and caught unaware in the snare or trap that Yahweh had laid. For Babylon no longer has any possibility for salvation, which means they are all already spiritually dead in Adam, and they will remain spiritually dead until the soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, when all those who are in the graves and unsaved will come forth, along with all the billions of unsaved people who will still remain to be destroyed in annihilation forever. Finally, we see ever since May 21, 2011, that Yahweh has opened his armory and has brought forth the weapons of his indignation, the elect, to get the message out that there is no longer any eternal salvation possible for the world and all the churches, Babylon. This is the work of my Lord Yahweh of armies in the land of Babylon. The real question is, do you want to obey the Lord and be a part of his work in these days? If so, then let's figure out ways to get the message of no more eternal salvation out to the masses and do it. After all, our Lord commands us to do all that has been commanded us to do. Amen. Now may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.